Welcome to Through the Word, leading you on a journey through the entire Bible, one chapter at a time. Today, Peyton Jones guides us through the Old Testament book of Leviticus. Now to Pastor Peyton.
Leviticus chapter 19 today on Through the Word. Chapter 19 is a field guide for what your life looks like when you're holy. Verse 2 says, "You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." In fact, at the end of every section in this chapter, God says, "For I am the Lord." In other words, if we understand what God's like, it should tell us what we should be like. God rolls out the Ten Commandments again, but not in the order that we're all used to. He lays out what holiness should look like thematically. Knowing that God is holy should make us holy in every area of life. In our home, verses 3 through 4. In our worship, verses 5 through 8. In our neighborhoods, verses 9 through 10. In our work, verses 11 through 13, and lastly in our society, verse 14 to the very end of the chapter. Famous American evangelist Dwight L. Moody used to say that every Bible ought to be bound in shoe leather. In other words, there ought to be a practical application for everything we read. That's what this chapter is. It's God laying out, this is what holiness would look like. If you took the Ten Commandments to heart, this is what your life would be. For example, let's look at verse 9. Verse 9 says, "When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap your field right up to its edge, neither shall you gather the gleanings after your harvest. And you shall not strip your vineyard bare, neither shall you gather the fallen grapes of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and for the sojourner. I am the Lord your God." If you knew me as a person, you know that I don't usually mix religion and politics in public. But here the scripture lays out something that has an immediate application to us. I'm from Southern California, and any part of the United States right now, before healthcare was mandated for everybody, one of the common things that you would hear was people saying that foreigners should not get the same healthcare as taxpaying Americans. But what does God think about something like that? If God were to put a society together, what would the rules be? How might God expect his people to act and think differently than the surrounding nations? Well, here God is saying, don't glean everything in your fields. Leave something for the poor and the stranger, the foreigner, the traveler who's in your midst. After all, you've got all you need anyways. A similar theme is in verse 13, where it talks about giving people fair wages. And also in verses 35 through 36, we see that dishonest scales or dishonest weights and measures by which you rip people off should not even be present. By now, you've probably begun to piece together that this chapter is actually about loving your neighbor as yourself. And after holiness has permeated every area of your life, your home, your worship, your neighborhood, your work, lastly, that begins to transform society. So verses 14 to the end of the chapter deal with that. For example, verse 32 has to do with respecting older people. Verse 32 says, "You shall stand up before the gray head and honor the face of an old man. And you shall fear your God, I am the Lord." That's called R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Find out what it means to me. It's called respect, and our society is losing it fast for people who have lived hard lives, worked long years, and fought for this country. But in a society managed by an all-seeing God, he tells you to take a peek at old people and see them just a little bit differently than maybe you were naturally inclined to. It's telling the people you're not really seeing them. See them the way I see them. Verse 23 has to do with some horticultural advice, where God tells him to respect the environment and to take care of it, not just to rape the land for whatever they need right then, but to actually take care of the land. If more Christians read Leviticus, they would probably have cooler politics. Speaking of cool, verse 28 says, "You're not supposed to get tattoos." But let's look at verse 28 and the surrounding verses a little bit closer. Verse 26 says, "You shall not eat any flesh with the blood in it. You shall not interpret omens or tell fortunes. You shall not round off the hair of your temples, nor mar the edges of your beard. You shall not make any cuts on your body for the dead or tattoo yourselves. I am the Lord." After reading that, it becomes pretty apparent that we're actually talking about a form of pagan worship, that God is saying to the people of Israel, please do not imitate that. In fact, let me just spell it out. Don't get tattoos for these gods. Don't mark yourselves for the dead. Don't get the special haircuts that the pagans get to show their dedication to their gods. And don't eat blood. Pagans dig that stuff, and it's gross. Now, I don't personally have any tattoos, but I'm always amused when people try to quote this verse and say that they were forbidden. I think it's funny because the verse right before it, verse 27, says, "Do not get a haircut either on the top of your head, on your temple, or cut your beard." Funny how people that think it's evil to get a tattoo don't mind getting a shave and a haircut. Leviticus 19 reminds us that it's important to read a verse within its context so that you properly interpret the Bible. But don't get carried away, young James Dean. Don't just run out and get a tattoo now. Remember that the very first commandment in this chapter, in verse 2, is honor your father and mother. Slow down there, Turbo. Put your seatbelt back on. You got a long wait before you're 18. The most puzzling passage here starts in verse 19, where it says, "You shall keep my statutes. You shall not let your cattle breed with a different kind. You shall not sow your field with two different kinds of seed, nor shall you wear a garment of cloth made with two kinds of material." Now, people have quoted these scriptures in order to try to ridicule the Bible, but the reality is that God was telling them to give themselves a visible, visual reminder that they were to be holy. Therefore, don't mix the two, the clean and unclean. Not that two different types of cattle were clean and unclean cattle, but rather God was giving them things in the fabric of their society, customs that would remind them constantly that they were to be different, they were to be set apart. So for all you aging hipsters out there wearing mixed polyester fibers, hugging trees, getting tattoos, and standing up for social causes, you're cool. At least you're cool with Leviticus 19. Read Leviticus 19 for yourself today, and as you do, try to imagine how different society would be if people loved God with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength, and loved their neighbors as themselves.
Join us next time on Through the Word as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing,